under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, other than the refresh on iPad, does anybody else have any changes to the agenda? All right, if not, we'll move into the consent agenda, which consists of our minutes from August 23rd, as well as bill payments in the amount of almost $1.4 million. Mr. Herron, anything on bill payments that we should take note of?
Chairman Herron, no, unless there's questions.
Okay. One question.
Commissioner Erickson.
On page 4, the check to Bolton and Mink, I was just curious, the RMP audit, what exactly is that?
RMP, risk management, that we have to update our risk management. I believe it's every 3 years, so that's for their assistance in updating our risk management policy.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions on bills? If not, I'd entertain a resolution for approval.
So moved.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second for approval of the consent agenda. Any discussion? If not, roll call, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Muskie?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Thank you.
That passes. Thank you. All right, next on the agenda, we have the update from the Planning Committee meeting, which was on August 24th, and I'll turn that over to Commissioner DeBleek.
Thank you. Planning Committee met on August 24th. We had discussions with the proposed WMU budget. We went over and with a full review of the proposed budget, just to highlight total projected revenues we're projecting for in the budget at $37.9 million. With a total operating expense projected of 29.3. Largest expenditures would be purchase power at 15.4 million, and intergovernmental transfer and additional expenses with the water and health insurance cost. Total capital budget was projected to be $17.5 million. Projected cash flows for 2022 project year, net cash balances of the electric at 20.5, water at 16.5, for a combined of $37 million. Some of the additional items that we discussed was the net balance threshold goal at 50% of revenues. And some of the projections show that water may not meet that goal moving forward, mainly due to the projection of the water plant. And then looked at some of the 10-year projections based on community growth and expenditures and expense exceptions, expectations. And then about the cost of service rate study. Look at scheduling for 2024, and with the anticipation of the water rate increases required due to the significant capital project at the new Northeast Water Plant and Southeast Water Plant projects, they need to move up that rate study. The last electric rate increase was in 2015. After considerable discussions on the budget, it was the consensus of the Planning Committee to accept the proposed 2022 WMU budget as presented and recommend the approval of that to the full commission. Item two, we discussed a change to the water rate policy. Previously, we had given directions that policy be changed as far as water billing, provide for the to provide an address for the multi-unit apartments and dwelling units where there's only one meter on a major apartment complex, and provide for the collection of the meter charge or the charge for water from each individual apartment. There was some discussion about the implementation of the policy changes in January 22. We're waiting for the completion of the next rate study. And it was kind of the condensed consensus of the committee with the additional number of apartments that are being constructed and proposed to be constructed. It was the consensus that the implementation of the policy be effective January 1, 2022, rather than waiting for that rate study. We have the recommendation of the committee was to adopt the recommended revisions to the current water rate policy and request approval from the full commission. And the notification will be reviewed and prepared for distribution to anticipated MUC approval. And item three was a miscellaneous with the need to address future rate adjustments. It was requested that the Planning Committee consider rescheduling the next cost of service rate study. The rate study is currently budgeted for 2023. However, the funding, the capital projects, and everything that is being proposed, was discussion that rate study move forward following, and it was recommendation of the committee to maintain a budgetary placeholder for the proposed rate study in 2022. It also allow time to determine funding levels for the upcoming water project. It may have some, that was a recommendation of the, kind of the recommendation of the committee, so. Guess we adjourned the meeting at 1:38 p.m. and I'll motion to introduce and approve the minutes.
Second. And Kip's the second. Commissioner Musky. Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. One thing I just want to point out real quick. On page two of the minutes, I know Commissioner DeBleek was going off of a pre-printed copy, but the second to the last bullet towards the top there, the rate study, and if you refreshed your iPads, should say it was scheduled for 2023. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody's aware of that. So we would be approving with that change. Any other discussion on the minutes or questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I have a quick question about the water rates. I mean, is this... are we planning to have a discussion on 2023 for the water rate? Is that...
That was the recommendation from the committee that move forward with implementing that policy change for January 1 of 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do we charge at this time? That's the question I have. I left you an earlier message in regards of what do we charge now? Each, my understanding is just so that each building have one connection and one fee charge. Is that correct for the buildings?
For the building, Commissioner Mabou, to back up a little bit, Commissioner DeBlee, yeah, the rate study, when we talk about the rate study was in our capital budgets for 2023, and when we get into our budgets, you'll see that there's a need to potentially move that up a year. So that's the rate study side of it. Now, you're asking the question, your second part of your question is referring to the building unit charges.
Yes.
Currently. So what the buildings right now, they are regardless of the size or the number of units within the building, say if residential house, as an example, has 1 meter charge. An apartment with 50 units has just 1 meter charge. So what will be implemented the first of the year if the commission approves this would be that meter charge will be implemented on the number of apartments or units within that building. So as the example, instead of just 1 meter charge on a 50 unit building, it would be like 50 meter charges. And a meter charge is
next year, I believe it's 378.
So
each meter charge.
Yeah. 378. So it's not a large charge, but okay. It is just shy of $4.
You also charge the sewer, or it's just that it's all one fee?
No. On our billing, we bill for wastewater for the city. So on our bill, there's three categories. I believe electric's on top, water is second, and then three is wastewater, yeah. And then you have the total due for all three utilities.
Yeah. Well, the reason that I brought up this and I want to share with Mr. Chair is just so that I have a lot of community members here in Wilmer that's complaining about the buildings, and especially those folks that who lives in suite living in terms of the charges. And not only the community are complaining about the charge that they're receiving, the water charges and what they call utility charges. Also the housing authority is wondering, why is this so high? For instance, every month, one-bedroom apartment, they are charging $45 for a monthly. One bedroom. Two bedrooms, they're charging $55. Three bedrooms, they're charging $65 each unit, and also $75 for four bedrooms. So this is something that even the housing authority is wondering, you know, this charge is just saying it's water and electric. So I'm wondering how much of that is, you know, from the utility coming from. When we know it's only one fee coming from that.
Yeah. Well, actually, Commissioner Weber, a couple things. We do not have the ability to control what Suite Living is charging their customers for rent. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a separate piece. And our charges, when you're saying they're charging $45,
that's not a rental though. This is utility charge.
Yeah, it's monthly rent saving will be $45 for one bedroom. So that's $45 is for utilities?
Yeah, that's what the way they wrote it here is by beginning of October 1st, each month for the doing this program will be utility fees for a gas, electric, you know, applicable. And then, so that is actually, and I know the gas comes separately.
Sure.
Electric comes separately.
Yeah, I was going to say, electric and gas come separately, so basically they're charging that for their water and wastewater.
Yeah. For $45 for each unit for one bedroom.
Sure.
So, I mean, as a utility, you know, it's just like where we stand as charging, you know, one fee is kind of, you know, the way you use it. Of course, this is a legal issue that has to deal separately from the utility, but just want to clarify where we stand as a utility. You know, this is not something recharging or how we address it. I don't know which would be the best way.
Yeah, Commissioner, we're looking at this from my understanding. These are not fees that we're charging or the city, but
but rather this provider of the housing unit is charging these fees. And as I understand it, it looks like if they're selecting to opt into this, if I'm reading this correctly, they're only paying for a portion of the electricity and utility charges. So my understanding from what I read here, and we can review this further, but I don't believe that if folks are opting into this, they're getting a separate utility bill. But either way, these aren't charges that are coming from us, so this would be, have to be dealt with the owner of the property, I believe.
This is not the, okay. Well, because I didn't know
how charges listed here aren't coming from us.
I understand that. I knew that to begin with, it's not coming from us.
Right.
But how can we just indicate that it's not coming from us? Just, I mean, they can charge whatever, they can make it a rent, whatever, that's up to them. But as, you know, as charged as people's perception is that the utility is getting this money. And that people are approaching me since I'm a member of the commission in the utility. That's why we are charged all this money, because of, you know, utilities and electric, and although we're paying our electric separately.
So I wonder, the whole thing. Is there value, Mr. Heron, of maybe us posting notice on our social media and our website, letting tenants in the community know that if they're getting these charges, that these are not directly from the utility, if we possibly put together a message of some sort?
Yeah, we can do that. We can craft some sort of message. Our rates are on the website. So, you know, that's already there. And also when they talk about, you know, utility charges, Commissioner Mabou, our water rates in the state are in the bottom third as we speak today. They're in the bottom third. Our electric rates are probably just at average or maybe even slightly below average based on the EIA reporting that gets done. However, the wastewater rates on the city side are probably, based on the same study that's used for the water, they're probably in the 80 percentile of the high end. So, you know, when they look at the rates are high, as Commissioner Mattern had indicated, if they're using these numbers, those are not numbers that we are setting, because our rates in relation to other communities are very reasonable.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and I know that, but yeah. When you have public coming out, people who live and saying, like, listen, why your utility is so high, and I'm saying, like, no, it's not true. It's just that how we can differentiate, you know, between the utility and the private entity, however they want to charge.
Yeah.
How can we, so the people will understand that this is not utility issue at all.
And I can see by this letter, I can see how the tenants are associating this fee with WMU, because it says a utility charge.
Yeah.
Now,
they can use something else, maybe rent charge or some maybe other other than, you know, perception of people assuming that the utility is getting all this money and we're paying this high, although as you indicated is really low compared to what the people are paying for here.
Yeah, if you have a two bedroom, they're charging every unit $65. So basically they're collecting $3,000 a month in addition to their rent from the tenants.
Yeah.
If they have a 50-unit apartment.
Ms. Johnson, just from a customer service perspective, are you hearing much on this kind of information from our customers at all?
No,
from tenants?
Commissioner Mattern, I'm not. But something to clarify with utilities is I'm going to assume, and I don't want to assume, but within the utilities would include the garbage service, the gas service, the water, the sewer, because these customers are receiving an electric bill from us, and so they know what they're paying the utility. Now, in that single unit where you said it was $45 a month?
Yes.
Okay, in that single unit, $28 of that is city wastewater, and $4 of that is the city utility improvement charge. So $32 of that $45 goes to the city, and I imagine the rest pays for their water, the garbage, their gas, if their gas is in their other utilities.
That's the single unit though, right?
Single unit's 45, two units are 55.
We're talking about the whole building, which is, have maybe 20 or 30 units.
Right, and each unit would be charged at 28.
So, oh, but
each unit right now.
By the city?
Yes.
Okay.
And that is included on our.
Point, okay.
But that would account for at least $32 of that utility.
45.
Charge that Sweet Living or any entity could be charging, but those are their charges and not ours. And we don't care much at all.
Yeah.
So.
I find a bunch of folks coming to, you know, to me, to my building and asking, you know, because they know that I'm utility, and asking why, you know, we're paying so much.
And we have to ask Sweet Living that question.
Yeah, so.
And to expand on that even just a little bit further, you know, Jan was referencing the $45 single unit. The city, and neither do we, charge any more, any less for a two or three bedroom apartment. The numbers that Janelle stated there would be regardless of a one, two, or three unit.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is like four bedrooms, we have like $70 to $75.
And that's not something we charge. And then in addition, these units at this time are not being charged the fixed cost or the operating and infrastructure charges that all residential units charge. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah.
From my perspective.
Yeah.
You know, again, if maybe even referring some of these tenants to, I think, the second to the last paragraph, letting them know that, as it states there, the owner of the property is still paying the majority of the utility charges for the unit.
That's what it states there, yes, I see that.
So, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any further questions? Okay, appreciate you bringing that up.
Commissioner Mannard. Oh, go ahead.
Commissioner Maskey, go ahead.
Well, it's the fact of the matter is that the water is then all collective, and they have to find a way to distribute that water cost between all the units. I do believe, though, that you should be aware that if we do the policy change, that $200 extra for a 50 apartment building, 50 units, is going to be probably redistributed amongst these people in their next piece, but I mean, that's going to be a $200 fee spread over 50 units to get to that $4 fee. I would assume that would be something that, again, Sweet Living will have to determine, but the fact that we don't have individual meters for water on every unit, that this is how they do it. It's very arbitrary, but I would assume they have some basis for determining these numbers. But yeah, it's a Sweet Living issue. I wish you could make it very clear what part you're paying for here and what part Sweet Living is putting on to them. But I don't know how we can get involved in Sweet Living's business on that end of it. But I do believe that, you know, the $200 that might be on a 50-unit apartment, that is a real increase that I think they might experience. So, my two cents.
Mm-hmm. Valid.
I was going to ask if the commission wants to direct staff to prepare some sort of statement on our website, and I would probably caution against that as to what Commissioner Muskie just alluded to, that we don't know what they're putting in there. Our rates are already on the website, so maybe we could look at bringing more attention to our rates. Maybe we could look at the website to see, you know, how readily available or how easy they are for anyone to find. But outside of that, to try and further, you know, justify our rates in a letter to address Sweet Living's charges, that would be impossible to do.
And if we're not really hearing from the customer service perspective, then I don't know that would be necessary. Maybe at least just drafting a response, so if we do start getting calls, we've got some kind of a script to go off of to reference this information.
Yeah, but the people are not complaining to the utility, they're complaining to the HRA. That's where they're going. There's a lot of complaints in the HRA, you know, about this water increase and all this. And the HRA is wondering, saying, like, nothing we have to do with. You know, this is, and then the information comes to me, so people do not really come to the utility and complain. complain about this issue, but they complain to the other entities, including Sweet Living. There's a bunch of people get together and trying to talk to them, and Sweet Living kind of said no. So then eventually, you know, they, some of them approached me and, you know, share with me about, you know, about this issue. And when I saw, I thought, this is really outrageous. It's too much, you know, to charge when it comes to the water and saying electricity applicable and gas, you know, it's, but again, it's a private entity, as we alluded, we cannot control that, but it's just that the message people are getting is not correct, and they are not coming to the utility to complain about it.
I think if I can address that, Commissioner Matter, I think Commissioner Mabur, the best answer to give an individual that might come forward would be that our utilities are very competitive, in fact, even on the low side, and what Sweet Living is charging you needs to be brought up either through the HRA or with Sweet Living, as our utilities are very competitive coming from the utility level.
That's exactly the information that I gave, but it's just it's just so that people are not buying that. That's a fact.
Okay, any further discussion? All right, we do have a motion and a second on the minutes that were presented. With no further discussion, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries. And next, we'd be looking for a request of approval for the 2022 budget. As presented in here, and I would look for a resolution for approval of the budget.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Madden, we'll put the cash flow statements up and go through them if that's the wishes of the commission, so everybody has a better understanding. We thoroughly vetted them out, as Commissioner DeBleek indicated at our planning commission meeting. But I think there's some things that that the commission as a whole should be aware of, what the assumptions are in the budget, what the bottom line looks like. So I think it'd be beneficial if we took a little bit of time and reviewed some of that data.
Yep, and we can have discussion.
Okay. Thank you. Sandra, did you want to kind of go through the assumptions and the bottom line there, the net cash flow, what it looks like?
Thank you.
Okay, so with the electric here.
Way up on top of it is Andrew up here.
Okay. For 2022, the assumption for the revenues was based on 2019 actual. We're finding that that's very comparative to how it's going this year as well. 2023, we added $100,000 to the revenue for anticipated additional south substation revenue. In 2024, we added $1 million for the anticipated additional transmission revenue from the projects. 2025, we added $150,000 for anticipated additional power plant sub revenue. And from 2023 throughout the 10-year window here, we added 0.5% increase for sales to the revenues.
And you're right, I can interject here a bit. As Andrea said, we added 0.5%. Up to this point, the last 8-10 years, we've been flat on our sales. Has to do with conservation more than anything, energy efficiency programs. But with the growth that we are seeing in the community, we felt it was prudent to add 0.5% in our KWH sales. So that's why we did it there, even though we've been flat for the last, you know, 7, 8, 9 years. Okay. Thank you, Andrea.
The assumption for operating expenses was a 2.5% increase per year. Other income, we assumed a 1% increase per year. Moving down to the capital projects, the office slash warehouse there is all in electric. We did not put any of that to the water division. So that full cost is shown here. And at the bottom, you'll see the net cash balances. And as we stated earlier, the goal is 50% of revenue, and this is met throughout the 10-year cash flow on the electric side.
So when you look at the bottom line there, as Andrea alluded to, our net cash balance, a very bottom line. The last rate increase that we had on the electric side is back in 2015. Again, at that time, we were projecting additional increases, rate increases were going to be needed. However, you can see in 2021, we ended the year at $19 million, and if we go out to 2031, the 10-year window that we're working, our actual fund balance continues to grow, even with the large projects that we have that we anticipate that we need to address in this window of time. So again, commend the commission and staff and the community for supporting the changes that we have been making here, which is keeping the financial position of our electric fund very stable. So again, getting back to, you know, questions coming from the Sweet Living, what do our rates look like and how competitive are we? I believe the commission is doing a very prudent job of managing the organization to manage the rates. So any questions on the assumptions that have gone into the statement of cash flow for Andrew or myself? Big projects there again is the warehouse, our office space, our transmission project, substation plant improvements, and our power plant cleanup are our biggest items in our budget here in our capital.
Any questions on the electric? Looks pretty straightforward.
All right, thank you.
Look at the water division. For 2022, you'll see their loan funds. That's for the water treatment plant. For a $21 million project, and we add 25% to get to that loan funds. The reserved funds that are needed are the amount of the bond payment plus that 25% of the project. If we move down to revenue, in 2022, we based that on this year's actual and then projected throughout the year. And we added the 5% rate increase and a 1% for growth. 2023, there's the 5% rate increase that's already set plus a 1% for growth. In 2024, we added that 1% for growth, but no additional adders for 2025 throughout the rest of the window. And for operating expenses, we assumed the 2.5% increase here as well. Other income, the 1% increase. And then there's the bond payment there, principal and interest. That was based on the $26.25 million for 10 years at a 4%. And then for capital projects, you see there's no budget in here for the office or warehouse. And at the bottom, the net cash balance, that goal is 50% of the revenue, but this is not met beginning in 2024 already. That's all I got.
All right, thank you, Andrea. So as Andrea pointed out, the revenues, reason we have increases in revenues there for the first number of years, again, is because of growth that we're seeing, and we don't know or don't want to anticipate that we'll continue to see that growth. So that's why we kind of maintained or held stable beyond that, beyond 2024. And on the capital side, 2 years ago, the commission directed staff to put the office building in the electrical fund based on the formula that consists of the customer base. A little over $2 million would be the water fund share. So depending on how things look financially as we go forward here, the commission may want to look at having the water fund pay for some proportion of that. When you you see the deficit, when you go on the bottom line again in that cash balance, you're looking at 2024, we're in a deficit. That is one of the reasons, among a few others, that discussion took place moving that rate study up. When you look at years 2028, 2029, those are costs that are associated with our Southwest Water Treatment Plant. 2 years ago, we spent somewhere around $1 million on that plant, preparing that plant to carry the community. Well, we remodeled the Northeast plant. At that time, engineers said we should be able to expect to get another roughly 10 years out of it. So in 2028, we'd be coming up 9-10 years, and hopefully we can get another year or two out of it. But for planning purposes here, we need to bring that into our capital projects and into our cash flow statements for rate setting. With that said, on the water treatment plant, as a commission to aware of, we are working on acquiring some level of grant funds, both at federal and state. But for today, this is what we know. This is what we're asking for the commission to approve as our budgets. If we do receive, if we're fortunate enough to receive grant funding of any level, Andrew will revise our budgets and we will bring them back for the commission to adopt revised budgets based on what we know we would receive, if anything, on the grant funding side of it. So with that, Andrew and myself would be more than happy to answer any questions that the commission may have.
Other questions?
Yeah, Commissioner. Yeah, I have a question. Just a little bit. Can you explain, we're getting what, 26 million loan fund?
The 26 million that we have here, that would be the sale of a bond to pay for our improvements at the Northeast Water Treatment Plant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Further questions?
I think John alluded to the fact that we're trying to get some grant money or bond money from both either state or federal, but we can't put that in the budget that it's already here until we get the check in the bank. So, and if we do get some of those funds, then we will have to revise the budget. That $26 million number could come down.
Not yet.
So
there's always, the discussion of, more infrastructure funding out there with the state and the federal. So I was assuming that could play big because of the infrastructure funding that's maybe available. I don't
know. We are working with the state. We're actually in the Appropriations Committee right now. Appropriations Committee is viewing our requests. I have no idea what the outcome would be yet at this point in time. But we are, our request is still in the queue, is still being considered, so that's a good thing. And on the state side, we've been in discussions both with Representative Baker and Senator Lang regarding our project and the ability to receive or obtain some infrastructure dollars. And in fact, we wanted a meeting with them again the first part of September to talk about bill language that they could submit on our behalf for consideration. And with their busy schedules, they asked if we could push it off to the end of the month. So Beth is in the process of trying to set that meeting up with them for the end of the month. So we can have further discussions regarding our needs here. So earlier discussions that we have had with them, they seem to be supportive of our requests, but doesn't change the fact it still has to go through the process. So more to come. Hopefully. Good news. Yeah.
Further questions? Mm-hmm. Andrea, is there anything on the combined statement you wanted to run through at all, or are we pretty well covered with the?
Yep.
Okay. So we do have a resolution from Commissioner Boob and a second from Commissioner DeBleek for approval of the budgets. Any final discussion? All right, Ms. Mathiasen, roll please.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Thank you.
That passes. Thank you, and thank you, Andrea. All right, next we are looking for approval of the water service policy wording changes. That is listed in the August 24th Planning Committee meeting packet. So if you wanted to see what that looks like, that's listed there. Otherwise, I'd be looking for a resolution for approval.
So moved. Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Any discussion on that?
Commissioner Mannion, at the Planning Committee, asked that we have a letter prepared ready to go out to give customers or the owners of those facilities ample notice of that increase coming. Staff has prepared a draft letter, so a letter will be going out to those entities here shortly after today's meeting if it's approved.
So, thank you. Further discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Commissioner Mabrouk?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye. That passes as well. All right, thank you, everyone. Next on the, Commissioner DeBleek.
Comment, I wonder if you want to push that letter out to the commission as well?
Sure, we can do that, then we have a copy.
Background information, we have it in light of the suite living.
All right, no, thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. We can do that.
Okay. Next up is the monthly financial reports. Ms. Precker.
Yes, thank you. Starting with the electric, the residential and commercial industrial revenues are up about $454,000 from last year. Expenses are down about $10,000, giving overall retained earnings up about $852,000 from the prior year. Looking at the water division, after we factor in that 20% rate increase for this year, the residential and commercial industrial revenues are up about $55,000 from where we would expect them to be. Expenses are up about $298,000 from last year, leaving overall retained earnings up about $162,000. And looking at divisions combined, the overall retained earnings are up about $625,000 after factoring in that 20% rate increase for the water. On the next page, we'll show you the graphs month to month and then year to date compared to last year. Any questions?
Doesn't look like we have questions there.
Right.
Any changes in the investment portfolio? It looks like no real change there either.
Nope, nothing significant to report on the investment portfolio.
Okay. All right, any final questions on financials? Does not appear so. Thank you, Andrea. Next up, we have our wind turbine report. Mr. Marty.
Thank you, President Mayor. As you can see, our wind turbine report for the month of August, production on each unit, number three, produced 163,470 kilowatt hours, and number four was 236,982. We do have an asterisk on the availability on number three. We estimated the availability this month. The fact that we had to stay logged in for about a week and a half on turbine three to keep it, I was having a yaw problem, to keep it placed into the wind, which affected our availability number. So we went back and estimated what our true availability would have been approximately, and that was close to 70%. And that reflects in the output of both units. Number four really did have 100%, so we were quite happy with that. So total kilowatt hour output for the month, 400,452. If you go around the next page, you can see how that compares to previous years in August. Actually turned out to be a pretty good month, all considering we got some wind and had decent turbine availability. So it brings our total for the year to $3,861,403. Stand for questions if you have them.
Any questions? We just keep plugging away the best we can. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, next up we have a recap of the 2021 MMUA Annual Summer Conference. Commissioners DeBleek, Johnson, and Mr. Heron were in attendance for that. Commissioner DeBleek, I'll turn it over to you for an update.
Okay. The conference was, summer conference was held at Cragen's in Brainerd. First day was, August 17th. It was a very, very good conference. Cragen's is a very nice place to have it. Some of the highlights, we had Tim Engelbretton, who is a retired police officer from Detroit Lakes, gave a very good speech on rhythms of life. Very motivational and kind of upliving talker to start the conference off with. But had several presentations from various organizations. Southwest Minnesota Municipal Power Agency talked about the transmission in the upper Midwest. If most of you have heard Michael Nolan talk, he's our representative out of Washington, D.C., lobbyist, worked for MMUA. He always gives a very, very colorful talk and is very interesting to listen to. What else for highlights? Business meeting, there was a proposal to raise the dues about at 5% for membership dues. I think that affects us a little bit in our membership dues for next year. And I don't know if you weren't aware of it or not, but Jack Cagle, who has been a long time CEO leading the organization, is retiring. He has retired by now, so his last day was like the first of September. Have hired a new CEO. Carolyn Koss, who has a lot of experience with nonprofit organizations and the like, but not too much electrical experience. And she is starting her first day, I believe, is on September 27th. So she hasn't quite taken over as yet, but we're looking forward to her perspective and how and leading the MMUA organization forward. So let's see, we had Jenny Palmer was elected president of the board at the meeting for she comes from currently working at the city of Excelsior on their water commission, and I think it's noted that she was probably one of the one of the first female presidents of the organization and one of the first to come from a non-electric utility. So a few historical markers there. So was in all was a very informative and very good conference. I would encourage anybody that hasn't been to one of these to attend once. If they can't attend the whole thing, at least attend one of the 2 days with it. So any more to add, John?
Sure.
Some things, maybe. Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. I echo what Commissioner DeBleek mentioned. It was a good conference. I agree with that. It was a very good conference. So I want to thank the Commission for allowing us to attend. Mark Nybar, our outgoing president from Otana, during his 1 year as our president. Mark and Jack, our CEO, retiring CEO, as Commissioner DeBleek mentioned, they had visited all the cities or all the utilities and solicited their input on what they like and what they had for suggestions for changes. So taking what they learned from those visits, and they're trying to make adjustments to the organization based on the input. So I think it was time well spent. Mark's time was well spent doing that. I know the group we were on, they grouped them in probably about 10 cities, 10, 12 cities in bunches, and reached out to them and had discussions with them. So I know the group we were part of, WMU was part of, I felt the meeting went very well, was productive. There were some things maybe that they weren't aware of or received some ideas on how they could change the organization to better serve us as members. So that was good. APPA, I'll touch on that just a little bit as well. APPA, the presentation we had from Alex Hoffman, they talked about where APPA is, and they feel that they have a good business model and that they are ready to assist all the utilities for the future and preparing for the future. They also noted that hydrogen is a rapidly improving technology, and they see a lot of potential there. There's a lot of money going into R&D for hydrogen. So we'll see where that goes. On the transmission, Mark Mitchell from SMMPA, Commissioner DeBleek mentioned that, but per MISO, with all the renewables and to get their energy out of the renewables to your hub, to your centers, population centers, there needs to be an additional $10 to $30 billion invested in transmission. That's per MISO. So a lot of dollars need to go into transmission yet to get the renewables where they need to be. The other bits of information that I found interesting coming out of that presentation was that only 15% of nameplate ratings can be used for capacity on wind turbines, and solar, they're reducing that from 50 to 20%. And they're reducing those numbers based on actual output from those renewable facilities. And basically, capacity is the amount of time that a generator is producing its nameplate capacity. So when that's telling you they're lowering like solar down to 20%, you need a lot of solar panels to make up for that. You got to have five times a nameplate to cover your load, and then you're still not going to be able to cover it, because when the sun isn't shining, no matter how many panels you have, they're not going to put all it. So it's becoming a real challenge to maintain grid stability, and things like the blackouts that we had through the Texas, everybody heard of the Texas or remembers the Texas situation here this spring. That's what is contributing to those, is the lack of wind, lack of sunshine on those. So interesting comments, nothing that we don't know, nothing that we're not aware of, but hopefully we can address them before we have blackouts, brownouts up here in the upper Midwest as well. We also had a presentation from MPCA on PFASs. They're becoming more common in our waters, and we're going to have to start testing for them. It's going to become mandatory, and there's over 500 different PFAS substances and compounds used in many different products, so that's why they're starting to show up in our waters. As of today, we here at Womer are already testing for PFAS FSAs, we do not have any in our water at this present time, so we're fortunate that way. Back on our business meeting, the 5%, Wilmer will see 4.65%. It's all based on a formula, population, and kilowatts sold, kilowatt sales, and we will see 4.65. Our dues amounts will be $33,494 for 2022. On our Department of Commerce update, a few changes going on there. We talked about individuals, again, not applying for assistance that qualify. They're doing a large marketing campaign to make people aware of the fact that there's dollars out there, and if they even feel that they remotely have a chance to apply and they need assistance, they should do that because dollars aren't being spent. And an additional piece to that, they are going to, beginning of October of this year, October 1st of this year, there is going to be $15 million available for water and wastewater as well, in addition to electric. So more assistance coming. Our staff here knows it. Janelle's and Andrea have been in communication with our staff, our customer service staff, so they're aware of that. We had to register with a local LIHEAP agency, or UCAP in our case. We have done that. Janelle has completed that so that we are registered with them. So anybody that does fill out that application, and if they qualify, should receive additional assistance dollars in addition to their electric bill. So that, I believe, pretty much between Commissioner DeBleek and my comments would cover the highlights of the conference. So
thank you for those updates, and thank you Commissioners DeBleek and Johnson for taking the time to attend those events as well, so we appreciate that. Anybody have any questions? All right, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is our MRES board meeting recap. Mr. Heron, anything to introduce before the video?
Sure, before the video, I'm just looking here in this recap. If they talked about the 5% reduction in our wholesale power supply, I don't see it here, but nevertheless, we received notice on Friday from Missouri River that the board here last week approved a 5% decrease in our energy that we will be receiving from them this upcoming year. So that's good news. So with that, unless there's additional questions, I'll ask Mike to tee up the video update.
Welcome to our board report from the August meeting of the Missouri River Energy Services and Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency Boards of Directors. This is Member Services Representative Jody Peck. The boards met in person at the Missouri River office in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and the meeting opened with introductions of employees who recently joined the Accounting and Finance Department, followed by project reports from three college students who interned with Missouri River this summer. For the first business item, the board reviewed the 15-month timeline for discussion and action on strategic business issues. The board also approved changes to Missouri River's current strategic priorities that were discussed during the July strategic planning session. The new action items include assisting members with staffing needs, promoting reliability in member communities with local generation, expanding policymaker roles and legislative activity to promote clean energy provisions, expanding service offerings for Midwest Reliability Organization compliance, and preserving Missouri River's membership and sales. Then Missouri River staff presented the board with a five-year operations plan, which outlines actions that staff will take to achieve strategic plan goals. Next, the board approved its intent to adopt a 5% power supply rate decrease beginning in 2022. Final action on the rate decrease will be taken at the October board meeting, but the board's proactive decision to declare its intent this early will enable members to include the rate decrease in upcoming financial planning and budget conversations. The board also received an update from Tracy LeBeau, who is the interim administrator and CEO of Western Area Power Administration, or WAPA. LeBeau provided the board with an update on WAPA priorities, readiness for weather and other external events, and potential funding for purchase power and delivery through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. The bill also updated the board on the status of the current tower and noted that Lloyd Linke has been named Senior Vice President and Upper Great Plains Regional Manager. In other business, the boards continued their discussion on placing behind-the-meter solar generation in member communities. After consideration, the boards authorized staff to proceed with the concept of developing solar generation in member communities over a multi-year timeframe, with individual projects being brought before the boards for approval. Last, the board reviewed and approved meeting dates for 2022, which will be included on Missouri River calendars that will be handed out during the fall member meeting on November 9th and 10th. As a reminder, this year's member meeting in Sioux Falls will replace the four separate area meetings typically held in member communities each fall. That wraps up our report from the board's August meeting. Thank you for watching, and please join us next month for our recap of the September board meeting.
Any questions on that update?
Yeah. I have an additional comment. Sure. Seeing the introduction of the WAPA's new CEO, that reminds me of WAPA's position with the Texas outage, and you know, everybody heard what kind of expenses different agencies incurred. Well, WAPA wasn't very well hedged. They incurred some significant costs there, and they're looking at their rates for next year right now as they look to see how they're going to recoup that. So that 5% that we're going to be saving from Missouri River will possibly get consumed through WAPAs. So
all right, so more to come on that, huh?
More to come. Yes.
All right, any other questions? We're moving to the general manager's report. Mr. Heron.
Tomorrow we have our labor committee meeting, and we're going to pick up discussion on our emergency succession plan, clothing policy. We got the union fatigue MOA here. We do not have that back. It's in the process, but we might discuss that at a high level, what it's looking like, and then upcoming items for the labor committee. Upcoming items for the labor committee, additional items. We anticipate the clothing policy, that they'll take another meeting on that, and then we'll be coming into year end, which we'll have the general manager's review along with pay equity and market adjustments. And then the planning committee, upcoming meeting on that as well. Once we know, once we have a better idea where we're at with grant funding, we'll be picking up our water treatment plant discussion, as well as a time of use and an earnest software program as well. Other than that, I would like to again to encourage the commission to consider taking part in our Missouri River fall meeting in November 9th and 10th. So I don't know if anybody's reached out to Beth yet to sign up, but I would encourage you to take the time to do that if it at all fits into your schedule. So I would conclude my report unless there's additional questions.
Questions or comments?
Well, I will just want to clarify some points. You know, I know that the, I think you said next year the Planning Commission will be talking about charging each unit for the apartment, okay, for the water usage. Is that correct?
Commissioner Babu, that would be part of a rate study to look deeper into our charges and all our fixed charges and if they're equitably distributed.
Yeah. Yeah. So in that case, then all the landlords will be out of the picture. Is that correct? Or they still play a role to still...
As far as
being responsible for collecting the money, you know, from the tenants.
That would not change how the landlords treat their tenants is out of our control.
No, I'm not saying. I know that. Okay. I'm saying it's just like whatever now, instead of the, like how we charge the electric. You know, okay, the electric is responsible by the tenants, correct, not the landlord. Would it be similar?
Yes, we would not.
Similar to that, or not?
Yeah, we would not change. The landlord would still be, if the apartment unit is set up that way, and I believe all of them, our knowledge is they're all set up that the tenant would still be responsible for the electric bill.
I understand the electric, but I'm saying the water would be the same path too. I mean,
yeah, the water would still be a pass-through. Yeah, we do not have the ability to individually charge each unit for the water. The apartments are not set up that way. And the apartments are set up, when they're built with one service to the building, and then they run that water pipe from that 1 meter to every room. On the electric side is a little different. There, when they build a building, they run every unit to its own meter, to its own service. So, yeah, unless they start constructing buildings differently, there's no way to separate that.
I understand that, but I thought maybe the way I understood it was just the one fixed rate for the building. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yep. So that fixed rate wouldn't be distributed among the apartments, you know, instead of just creating meters or whatever, you know, just like this, it set up the rates so that this, you know, each building would be including, say, like $100, so that dividing among 10 units. Isn't that something that could be considered rather than having the landlord be responsible for that? Because we charge, my understanding now is just we charge one fee monthly.
One fee to the landlord.
To the landlord.
Yeah.
That one fee for the landlord, you know, isn't be appropriate then to charge that one fee to the tenants.
So what you're, if I'm following you correctly, Commissioner Boo, what you're asking is can we charge versus charging the landlord, charge each tenant X amount of dollars on a flat fee basis?
Yes.
That's always a possibility, but our rate structure is not set up that way. And the other challenge that we would have with that flat fee on a monthly basis is we would have no way of dividing up the actual water consumption itself. Because on the bill, basically, the apartment building gets a flat fee charge, regardless of if they use any water or not, and then they got the consumption,
yeah.
And there's no way to divide that consumption up. So the only way you could do that is if you estimate extremely high to cover that consumption cost.
Yeah. Well, I'm just throwing out this because of just to
sure.
have mm-hmm. some sort of understanding, because even the landlords doesn't have no mechanism to control that. They just
no.
throw the numbers there. So as soon as you just yeah. throw in the numbers, since we know that there's only one charge
yeah.
that the utility have monthly, just distribute among tenants, because we know how many you know, tenants they have in that building, or how many units are in that building. And each unit, just say, like, just divide it in half, you know, the consumption, you know.
Yeah, the commission would be right. The yeah. landlord has no way to control or incentivize their tenants to conserve water.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they don't.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, be fair to the to the users, especially people who live in this big unit, big building, would be more
yeah.
helpful, you know, as of, you know, just the landlord is just throwing some numbers, saying that, you know, this is my cost, which they don't even have a control over it themselves, you know, so.
I don't own an apartment, but I would have to believe there's some regulations out there that they have to set their rates based on some reasonable level of cost. So I don't believe that they could take our utility bill, along as Janelle mentioned, the garbage and, you know, the cable TV or whatever is all fixed charges, and double them and pass that on. There has to be some recourse for the tenants if that were going on. I don't know what that answer is.
I think if the planning committee can explore, it would be good some sort of way in the future finding out.
Commissioner Rubin, yeah. Mr. Hand, I think at this point, maybe because this doesn't really pertain to the business, I'm wondering if we can, if you guys have even 5-10 minutes after the meeting, we could maybe
sure.
do an offline discussion and
yeah.
maybe talk that yeah. through a little bit more and see if that's something we can carry over to planning.
Okay.
We're good with that. Thank you. Any additional business then for today?
All right. To adjourn.
We have a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.